Holy Spirit, help us right now in the season we're in. Help us to actually be humble, not just act humble. To be courageous, not just to act courageous, right? Help us do what needs doing. I got a little slide. Ease into things, I think, here, I hope. If you want to be wise, first, keep God first. This is what we learned so far. It seems elementary, but how often do we, in that number one, that just that number one, how hard is it to keep God first in everything you do? It's effort, right? It's work. It is. So if you want to be wise, keep God first. Two, seek wise counsel. Three, do what he says. And four, be consistent with the things they suggest, God and your wise counsel. All the wisdom in the world is just knowledge without application. And knowledge puffs people up. Everybody, a bunch of eggheads that know a lot of things. And you're like, dude, I wouldn't trust you to watch my cat. What's up? You know, just saying. God help you seek a loyal heart during this time. You know, Solomon's resume, we're going to do a little bit of it. One of the things is God called him. That's a big thing, right? To have God call him to do something. And God made Solomon some real cool conditional promises. There are promises that are awesome, but there was like this little asterisk that you got to do something in this situation. But God used Solomon to do something really cool. One of the coolest things God used Solomon to do is help write his word. He's the one of the wisest, and he has a lot of books in the Bible that he actually penned, that God used as the inspired word of God. So if God calls him the wisest, and actually God used him, put him on like a glove to help write his word, we should pay attention to his life. Would it help us? Shouldn't it help us? Like, pay attention to those things, right? I'm just trying this morning to get us across that here's a smooth twist today. We're going to look at and showcase his wisest boy. Ready? 1 Kings 3, 3 through 5. I love how it starts strong, too. 1 Kings 3, 3 through 5 starts really strong right here with, now I'm going to slow roll, so stay with me, Jess. I'm going to chew through some things. Now Solomon loved the Lord. Now Solomon loved the Lord. That's very wise, right? That's putting first things first. Solomon loved the Lord. Walking at first in the statutes of his father David, except for the fact that he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, ignoring the law that required all sacrifices to be offered at the tabernacle. Say, not wise. Not wise. But God said he's the wisest. He didn't say he was perfect. Church needs to hear that about church people and about leaders and stuff. You got to be held to a standard and accountability. But no one is perfect. Solomon's the wisest. We're going to hear lessons. He's going to teach us stuff like that. That's wise. And stuff we're going to go, dude, that's an idiot move. How can you be the wisest and make an idiot move? Because he's not Jesus. He's Solomon. But God says, that's my wisest boy. So don't disregard those things either. Right? We got to learn stuff. God said he was the wisest. The king went to Gibeon near Jerusalem where the tabernacle and the bronze altar stood and sacrificed there. For that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Now check this. He sacrificed where God asked sacrifice not be done. And then he sacrificed in a place that was almost rude. How rude. Yeah. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask me what I shall give you. Now, this offering here, he's given everything again to God. You're like, this is great. God's giving. He's going to transition to his best to doing it for somebody else for another reason. Something else took the wisest focus off of God. And I'm not the wisest. So I wonder, if I'm not wise, if my focus could be pulled off God. Anybody? Yeah. But here he is focused. He's starting off focused. He's doing stuff God said, and this is amazing. God asked him this question, what shall I give you? Pastor Justin had a hilarious version of this a couple weeks ago in our pool. It was, would you rather fly or have $100 million or $100 billion? $100 million. Would you rather fly or have $100 million? Now, I'm older, So my answer was easy. Give me my $100 million now. Now, a young guy was like, you kidding? I can market my flying, and I'll make 50 times that. I don't got that energy or time. Give me my $100 million, you know? But seriously, to take a real look at this for 0.78 of a second. Put your Solomon on blast for just a second, just for a minute. What if when you laid your head down tonight, seriously, what if when you laid your head tonight, God says to you, ask me for anything? What if he said that to you? That's bigger than $100 million. That's bigger than flying. Anything is anything. God said to Solomon, basically, I love your heart. I made you a promise. Now ask me for anything. If I had the means to grant any kind of wishes to people's life that I loved, can you imagine that? Imagine if you had the power to grant any wish of any kind, Mark, to the people that you love. And you're a giving guy, so they'd be like, dude, dad's going to hook us up. Right? That's how, like he's going to follow through with what he said. He's got the power to make that happen. Unlimited power. I will hear in a second at Solomon's reply, but I want you to really think about it. What if you're sleeping, then boom, you're caught off guard. You never get caught off guard by God, though, do you? You guys always know. Like, he always tells you when he's going to show up, and you're never shocked when God does. That's awesome. I can't wait to hear that plan. But sometimes he catches me off guard in ways that I don't expect. So imagine being woken up middle of a solid sleep. You're caught off guard, right? Sounds like the church, constantly asleep, caught off guard. Maybe. But what blurts out of your mouth in that moment? Get up, get up. What do you want? Ask me anything. You know why that instant's so important? Because that answer is from the purity of your heart. The purity of your heart, your mouth will speak. What's the core of who you are? I want to know what you want. Man, that'll check your pride. Because I started thinking about things I want. I'll help the world with $100 million, trust me. The world will look a better place. Myself will look really good, but the world will look better too. Just saying. What if in a flash he asked you, what would your response be? I look all the room, I see a lot of things, right? Pressure's off. Maybe he won't ask you that. But I have some emoji reactions I'd like to talk about that probably went through your head. You ready? Okay, I've got a slide of emoji reactions. The first one, shock and terror. God woke me up, and you just start going, I don't know, 10 more seconds, I don't know, play about my robot, I don't know. Hold on, God, don't leave, I got to answer the question. You're just panicking. Right? Anything? You're paralyzed with options. What about money? Anybody think money? Money, money, money. $100 million. I'd go, well, I'd take $100 bill then, actually, if there's anything, God. With $100 bill, I like to teach the world to sing. I can do that with $100 bill. I can do stuff. Or maybe like, no, I need money because I'm about to be evicted from my home. Maybe you're in such drama problems. The first thing you thought of, God, just fix my drama. Just fix my drama. You don't have to raise your hand. Maybe you thought, power. Finally, power. I have power over my enemies. I have power. There's some people going, I asked God for something. Your life's about to be different. Maybe you asked for love and romance. A little broken hearts there. Just maybe ask for time. Some of her is getting old. Nana. But what if God asked you, as an individual, how would you respond right now? You're solo man. How would you respond? I want you to ponder that. Because maybe God wants to ask you that. And that causes us to check our heart to go, what should my response be, Lord? 1 Kings 3, 6 through 9. Be wise, fight pride. You ready? Then Solomon said, you have shown your servant David, my father, great loving kindness, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and with uprightness of heart towards you. He was imperfect, he messed up, but he was had a pretty good resume, right? And it's hard to get in a conversation when talking about David. Go, whoa, he had Bathsheba. Oh yeah, he did. It was wrong, and he paid. It was a terrible sin. But you know the other 1,000 things David did? He also wrote most of the book of Psalms. He also conquered Israel's enemies. He also worshiped the place in his heart was towards God. And God said, that's a man after my own heart. He never said about anybody else ever. But we always disregard people based on a problem. Got to stop being the judges of perfection. But we should look at our own hearts and check our own pride levels, right? Yeah. And you have kept for him the great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Said, you kept a promise. I'm actually the promise. And you have kept for him the great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. So now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant. I love this because he called himself by, not by name right here, but by title. He didn't say, you gave me your boy. It's an act of humility. Yeah, I realize that you're not my servant, God. You're asking me, but you're not my genie in a bottle. You ain't never had a friend like me. I carry you around in my pocket for granting my magical wishes we call prayers. And if I rub the lamp of God enough, boy, he'll answer my prayer. That's a genie. That's not God. God's God. And Solomon recognized that. He said, I'm your servant, man. I'm the king of all the known earth right now. But the number one fact in that is I am your servant. Right? Humility of Eli's, it's going to be gained perspective. Humility helps you gain perspective. He's like, you made me king in place of David, my father. And as for me, I am but a little boy, comparatively, in wisdom experience. Compared to David right now, he was. He didn't have a lot of experience leading. He was just a young guy. Be like, hey, Andrew, come on up. You're in charge now. What? Faster? No. Move on. I do not know how to go out or come in. That is how to conduct business as a king. I don't want to be a king. I don't want to be a king. I like being the rich king's son. You know what I'm saying? Woo, that's my, I love that position. My dad's a king. I drive his Ferrari around. He's a baller, you know. Proper humility is proper perspective. Your servant is among your people whom you've chosen. And they're such a great people. A great people who are too many. Spoken by a leader, occasionally super fussy Israel. You know, this sounds poetic, doesn't it? But he basically said, hey, I'm in charge. And these people, like, there's a lot of them, and they are fussy. Like, that's a lot of work, God. Like, how am I going to do that? My dad was like, he was ruled. And I'm just like, these people, you know. Too many to be numbered or counted. So check this out. So give your servant. Say, give me. Give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart with which to judge, with which to judge your people. I love this. So that I may discern between good and evil. He said, I want to be able to discern between good and evil. I want to know the difference. I want to understand. I want to see it clearly. When you know the difference clearly, it's easier to make good choices. Right? Ever clearly go, this is completely, and it's like, man, it makes it easy. But those subtle things, like, well, God never said Oreos were a sin. It's 2 a.m. I complain about not working out all the time. Thou shalt not eat Oreos is not in there. All right, I'll take 6. So that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge and rule this great people of yours? See, Solomon's humble. He's asking for discernment. He's a young king. Do you know Solomon ruled for almost 80 years? He ruled for almost 80 years. He lived, I think, somewhere. Pastor doesn't check all my facts. He lived almost 97, I think. Somewhere that Pastor's like, I ain't checking that fact. Just we'll keep moving. But it's right around. Pastor's like, I'm going to check that. So, somewhere around. Yeah, she's like, I will check it. You will know. After church, you're going to know. It was 96 and a half years. You know, I know. Say, I just want to be a wise guy. Say, I just want to be a wise guy. Andrew, not that way. Yeah, I see you. I just won't be a wise guy. Chris is like, Andrew, that's not what Pastor's talking about. I got to get you to change your name on my phone. I know Andrew so long. You know what he's in my phone, Carissa? Did I ever tell you? He's Carissa's sweetie, Andrew Perez. That's how he's in my phone, Carissa's sweetie. Known him a long time, so I need to, you know, probably should change that. Like, Carissa's sweetie's calling you. Well, it's Andrew, you know. Pride, what is it good for? 1 Kings 3:10. Now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked these things. Imagine being a dad, and you said, you have everything, anything you want. And then the kid gives you this awesome response that blows your mind and your heart. I thought you were going to ask for a pony, but you asked, how can I better clean the yard? Imagine that. It's Leo's birthday. He comes up to you. He goes, Dad, you said I could have anything on my birthday, and I just want to clean the yard for you. He'd be like, hey, we got to get him out of the sun. Something happened, right? He's a little kid. You know, what you want? He'd be like, Pastor, that Leo wants to clean the backyard. You know, that's kind of how it felt. I'm thinking, you know, it pleased the Lord. And God said to him, because you've asked this and you've not asked for yourself a long life or wealth, nor the lies of your enemy, not money, not power. You haven't asked for money and power. You haven't asked to live a long time. But you've asked for yourself understanding to recognize justice. Behold, I have done as you've asked. What a boom statement right there. Behold, you know how I spoke the world into existence? Yeah, you know how I raised the dead? Yeah, you know how I hear things? What I'm telling you is the absolute truth too. I've done what you just asked. Behold, I've done what you've asked. I have given you wisdom and a discerning heart. You know, that same word heart is mind, a discerning inner soul, man, the soul of a person. I've given your inner person discerning to make good choices and to rule. Check this out, though. So that no one before you was your equal. He just basically said, I've made you the best there ever was. How do you take that in? I made you the best there ever was. No one's your equal. Nor shall anyone equal you after you. You're the best I've ever made as a ruler, as the wisest. No one's your equal in the history of the world. Not even of my people. I'm talking any human ever. You're it. And anybody who comes after you, all those 100% humans, all those, no one's going to be your equal after you either. We should learn something from that guy. God made that guy. I want to know what that guy has to say. And I want to know why that guy fell on his face. Because if he fell on his face, what kind of hope do I have? Jesus. Solomon was a wise guy. I have also given you what you have not asked. What? That's like, you got this. And behind door number two. You picked the ham, and now you've got ba-da-da-da-da, you know? So he's like, you've asked for that, and I've given it to you, and it's awesome all by itself, but just wait, there's more, you know? And there's more. I've also given you what you've not asked for, both wealth and honor. All right. So there will not be anyone equal to you among the kings all your days. He goes, you're going to have wisdom and money and honor. You'll have no equal. Never. But there's a huge word coming. You know what that word is? It's tiny, but it's huge. But it's a good one, but this is if. If. You can have all that if. I'm going to do all that if. I will do all that if you walk in my ways. If you walk in my ways. Not your wise way. I made you the wisest, and you're going to want to go, I'm so wise, I got it from here. You made me the wisest. That's pretty much the perfectest, isn't it? So I don't really need you because I really have the wisest, and I'm the wisest now. I teach people my wisest ways. He said, don't get caught up in that. If you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David did, then I'll lengthen your days. I think I got a slide. A wise man should keep his eyes on the if, not the gift. A wise man should keep his eyes on the if to be done and not the gift to be gotten. Keep your eyes on the if to be done, not the gift to be gotten. So often we're gift motivated. What is, you know? What if paycheck was about more than just the money you got? What if it was about some kind of character thing or being an evangelist in your workplace? What if the thing God gave you, like what God gave it to me, he said, yeah, but you're too focused on it as your gift, and I'm trying to get you. It's just a wise man should keep his eyes on the if to be done, not the gift to be gotten. Pride can bring you down. It brought the wisest down, and no one's immune to it. So this guy who God said is the wisest, firmly established, we know what happened. We shouldn't be so cocky. And we shouldn't be thinking about anybody else. And we should go home in our prayer closets and probably twice a year go, Lord, where's my pride at? There's no shadow you won't light up. Light me up. Come on, Dad. I'm ready to hear what you have to say. First Kings 4:29-34. Now God gave Solomon exceptional wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind. Like the sand of the seashore, Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisest of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men. And he lays these dudes out that we have no idea. Wiser than Ethan the Ezraite, and Hermon the Chalcol, and Darda the son of Mahol. I guess they're pretty wise guys. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Guess how many the Beatles wrote? 213. Solomon, 1,005 hits. So good, he put most of them in the Bible. Just saying, the Beatles are okay, but come on. 213, 1,005, not even close. He spoke of trees. I love this. He's like the Lorax. You know, I'm a little hippie. I love it. He spoke of trees, of good. Tell me of trees, Solomon. I want to know. What about that? I'd be that kid going, what about that tree? What's that one do? Can you eat that? No, don't touch it. Put it in your mouth. Can't put it in your mouth. Good? Not good? Speak of trees. He spoke of trees from the cedar, which is in Lebanon, to the hyssop that grows on the wall. And he spoke also of animals. Excellent. I love those too. You know, of birds, of creeping things, and fish. I got to pause there, right? Can I tell an Ellie story real quick? Yeah, they're not paying attention. I can do it. So I had this game. I was trying to occupy her the other day in the car. You know, we're sitting there like, hey. I go, hey, pick an animal that you never want to be. Because usually it's like, pick an animal that you love. So I go, pick an animal that you never want to be. Maybe a millisecond, she goes, I don't want to be a fish. I said, true, a fish. I get it. Okay, good call, you know. Solomon spoke of fish. They're all right. Fish. People came from all the peoples, nations, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And from all the kings on the earth who had heard of his wisdom, Solomon was God's wisest. On every topic, he was it. Before Google, Solomon. Hey, Solomon, what about that fish? That fish is a... What about that tree? That tree is a... Hey, Solomon. You know, I might rename my Google, Hey, Solomon. Solomon was the catalyst for building the temple. Well, my Google answers me sometimes. You change it because she hasn't said it to me in a while. I used to have her call me my great sultan, but it's just... She goes, yes, I did. One time, Dr. Huddy, I go, hey, Google, what's the temperature? It's 86 degrees. I go, thank you. You're welcome, my great sultan. And all of a sudden, she came down the hallway. She goes, what did you have Google call you? Just a little thing we have. She serves me, you know. Solomon was a catalyst for building the temple and the holy place. Very specific instructions. He built the holy place. He made many, many wise decisions and judgments. He began the golden age of Israel. And then he fell really, really, really hard. So calling and character and credentials are all important. Calling, character, and credentials. Calling, God, did God ask you to do that? Character, can you support it with the character and moral of God to handle it? Credentials, have you proven over time and built a resume? Anybody can do something for 4 minutes. Right? Solomon would be called and skilled, but what are you going to do with it? Consider your relationship with God carefully, you know. Are you seeking? Do you do all the things? Or do you, we prefer like the things that we want to do? It's the same thing, right? So I want to learn from the wisest. Most of the Proverbs, loaded with wisdom, he wrote. Most of Ecclesiastes, loaded with regret, he wrote. Most of Proverbs, loaded with wisdom, he wrote. Most of Ecclesiastes, loaded with regret, he wrote. Very few Proverbs won't hit you right in the heart. So here's my reason I think that we should get into the Proverbs and learn a little from Solomon. I can remember thinking this. I had this little Bible. It was like a little brown pocket Bible, you know. And all it had in was the Gospels, some Psalms, and Proverbs. And I read that thing. I think for the longest time, I forgot there were other books in the Bible until I got a Bible. You know, I just read it. And then I realized something. I was hearing from the closest disciples to Jesus when I read the Gospels. And then when I was reading the Psalms, I was hearing the heart of the guy who had the greatest heart for God, David. And then when I read Proverbs, I was reading from his wisest guy. And I began to think about those things and how they should impact my life. And these are the things I filtered for me. And I'm building a resume this morning. And I also want to take that resume and go, if this guy with this stellar resume can fall down a flight of stairs in his face by choice, we have to pay attention. Right? Proverbs 1:7, wise Solomon style. I just took a smatter. I took a bunch of Proverbs and I just poured them on a plate like spaghetti. We're going to talk about them. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge. Its starting point and its essence. But arrogant fools despise wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. But arrogant fools despise wisdom. Don't tell me what to do. I don't care if you've been around longer. I don't care if you have experience. I don't care. You don't know me. Arrogant fools. I know, don't tell me how to do it. And I don't need self-discipline. The reverent fear of the Lord, worshiping him and regarding him as first, is the preeminent part, the starting essence. But arrogant fools despise wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. Solomon's preeminent highest importance was this, fear God. Proverbs 1:10. Here's a great one. I threw this one out and I almost skipped it, but I go, ah, it's so good. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. That's wise. If you're asked to participate in sin, you know what's a wise answer? No, bro. No, not going to participate. Why? Solomon told me that's a good answer. I didn't know what the answer there. Like, you offered all this sin in front of me. I was like, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. Choose number one. Number two, what door should I choose? And Solomon said, choose none. He said, choose none. I'm going to go with that. It's wise. Just saying. Pride says, I cannot be tempted. I can't be tempted. I already beat that. I can't be tempted because I'm not like him. I can't be tempted. I'm not like her. I can't be tempted because I'm not like my dad. I can't be tempted because I'm not like my mom. I can't be tempted because I'm in a Christian. I can't be tempted because I have the Holy Spirit. I can't be tempted. Pride. Huh. What is it good for? See? We get it. Proverbs 3:1-7. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility and prosperity that will add to you. Do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Instead, let these qualities define you. Instead, let these things actually define who you are. When people speak of you, they're going to see length of days, dead. How's that? I noticed. Okay. And tranquility and prosperity, I am powerful now. I didn't even ask for that. See what he does? and tranquility and prosperity they will add to you. Do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Instead, let these qualities define you. Let mercy define you and kindness define you. Let peace define you. Bind them securely around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in, hear this, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord. Rely confidently with all your heart. Rely confidently with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight and understanding. Say pride. You know, often I rely on my own insight and understanding 85% of the time. Anybody else? I got this guy. I don't have to ask God. I know. It's just doing this. Why was this so frustrating? Okay, I was just going to plant, dig this hole, and I hit the system, and it caused a leak, and before you know it, the neighbor's thing was flooded, and stupid Walmart. Dude, did you ask God? Just digging a hole. I know, but think what if you just said, should I? And he said, no, you wouldn't be where you're at right now. True. Rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord with reverent awe and obedience, and turn aside from evil. Say, pride is ugly. Say, pride is dangerous. Wisdom requires application. Help us. Proverbs 4:20 through 23. My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Anyone ever raised children before? This is a great statement. How hard is it to make happen? What? My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. How many were the kid that's like, what'd he say? Dad, you know, what's that? Oh, it's a song. Never mind. You know Charlie Brown's teacher? How about that? In the next room. What did he say? I don't know. Violet's like, I don't know what Dad's saying. He sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. He pretty much said, I can jump off the roof. I'm pretty sure. That's what it sounded like. Yeah, he said jump. Go ahead. You know? My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings and do not let them escape your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life. Life for those who find them, and healing to their flesh. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for it from it flows the springs of life. How many times have your heart been injured and life's just been so hard? Isn't it wise to watch over our hearts? And I'm not just talking just romance. You can give your heart, things can get in the center of your heart. World of Warcraft can be the center of your heart. 2K can be the center of your heart. Work can be the center of your heart. I'm a working man. Yeah, it could be the center of your heart. Could be a person the center of your heart. When the center's off, the whole wheel's off. When the center's off, the whole wheel's off. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Now, Solomon knew this. Actually, not only did Solomon know this, he wrote it down for us. He wrote this down for us. He knew this stuff. He wrote it. He taught it to his kids. And he applied it because why? He was the wisest man on earth. So it's not stuff he just, like, played us. Yeah, you guys, keep your heart. I'm not keeping my heart. Those guys are idiots. No, he did it. He was the wisest. Proverbs 9, 8 through 10. Do not correct a scoffer who foolishly ridicules and takes no responsibility for his error, or he'll hate you. If you've ever been in management, you've heard that one said differently. Correct a wise man, though, who learns from his error, and he'll love you. Now, how you correct somebody makes a difference. Correction needs for all of us, and we don't always do it right. None of us are perfect. None of us are even Solomon. You're going to do it wrong sometimes. But how you serve a meal often determines how well it's going to get consumed. So sometimes how we serve correction doesn't mean it doesn't need to be served. We better serve it better. But if you're wise and you get served correction well, instead of fighting it, because rebelliousness is bound up in our hearts. We all have a defiant disorder. We're born with it. The Lord says, discipline, it will chase it from a child. Right? We got to have that. So in our lives, we need to allow His word to be sharp sometimes. Sometimes if I read it on a regular basis and it never convicts me, something's wrong. Now, I shouldn't be constantly going, oh my gosh, I'm terrible. No, He loves me. He died for me. He said, if I do this, He's got this for me. He gave me the door number two and door number three, and He blessed my life. And I used to be there, but I'm here. I used to be there. Like, that's so ugly. I forgot how ugly that was. Thank you, God. That's awesome. Keep that. We have to be correctable. We have to be. We're not going to be wise. Give instruction to the wise, and he will become even wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he'll increase his learning. The fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him, regarding him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of wisdom. Its starting point and its essence. He's repeating that. The fear of God, mattering what he thinks and feels the most as your prime directive of who you are in every part of society, your physical, emotional, spiritual being. Keep him center and be afraid of everything else when it's not. That's the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding and insight. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heeds and accepts and is the result of his father's discipline and instruction. But a scoffer does not listen to reprimand and does not learn from his errors. You know how long that was me? It didn't matter if it was a good idea or not. If someone in authority said it, I instantly go, nope. Wear a tie. Shave every day. No way. Grow a beard. I'm shaving. You know. Solomon got it, man. He was a guy who practiced it and he saw results. A guy who wrote it down in God's word. A guy who knew better and did better, who lived better, and lived better than all of us ever will. And he crashed. And he also commented on that. Shouldn't we learn from that too? You know, I think I'd rather learn from other people's mistakes. I have a habit of just trying to make my own, and I'd like to stop that. Someone else's sin can help me from falling down. I want to start learning from that. I don't have to try everything myself. You know, I just, man, that looked like that hurt going down in your face, those 15 flight of stairs. But you know what? It's not my personal experience. I better try it. That's how we do life. Ask God if you jump face first down the stairs. No, they're my stairs. I built them. Okay. 1 Kings 11:1. This is the fall. This is where sin content is ahead. This is the wisest man in the world who said God should be the center of your life. Write that down for everyone in the history of the world to know that the wisest man said he should be the center and do everything he says. Can you write that down? Yeah. Make sure you put it in there twice, scribe. Got it, Solomon. Now, King Solomon defiantly loved many foreign women. He had many Hebrew wives, but it was very clear in God's word, foreign women, foreign God women, those gals were off the list. He made it clear. Said, hey, yep, you got a lot of cultural wives, women, you got your, but Solomon, know this, never go after a foreign wife who served foreign gods. That's a never, it's clear, it's written down. You got it? Yeah, got it. I'm the wisest guy. Of course I got that. I understand. King Solomon defiantly loved many foreign women along with the daughters of Pharaoh, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittite women. Wow. Wise Solomon defied a direct command from God. Shocking, isn't it? Shocking. Women from the various nations to whom the Lord said to the Israelites, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you. For the result will be, he's telling this. He says, if you do this, I'm never going to do it. I don't care about foreign girls. They're ugly. They're not my style. No, they're way too tall. I don't know. I'm not interested. God, Hittites. He says, okay. But just in case, right? Do not associate with them. Because the result will be they will turn you away in your hearts to follow their gods. No, I don't care. I'm not interested. You know, it's the teabag thing. Keep your teabag steeping in the toilet water. It's going to taste bad. Teabag go, I got good tea in me. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I could be out there with them. They're not going to bother me. Why? Because I'm proud to be born again Christian. America, I'm good. I can take any pressure and temptation. I can be there. It doesn't matter. Everyone in the party is doing cocaine and they're for 4 hours. I can just be there. Ask God first. Maybe he sent you on a mission. Maybe. I'm tough. I can take it. Why? I've been sober for 4 days. I'm just saying these are the things that happen in our lives. I'm making fun of, but that we put ourselves in situations we know God said, don't do it. Pride. Huh. What is it good for? The result will be they'll turn your hearts away from me and follow their gods. Yet Solomon clung to these in love. No worries, everyone. They won't influence me. I'm super wise. That was a law for everyone else, but I'm the wisest, so I can. He probably wasn't talking to me. He had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away from God. But God gave him so much. How is that possible? If you don't think it's possible, you got to check your heart, because things will steal it. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. If we're going to learn any lesson from Solomon, from the wisest, let's learn from his fall. If God says no, just let it be no. Enjoy the blessings, not what's on the other side of the fence. And his heart was not completely devoted to the Lord his God, as his father David was. For Solomon went after, he sought after. Why Solomon? It says he went after. He sought it out. It wasn't like they just showed up. All these foreign women just showed up. There was like a Miss Foreign Women competition. They asked me to be judge because I'm the king. No. He went after them. The wisest went after things he shouldn't go after. Anybody? Anybody? Ever been there? Ever go off something real dumb? And then you go, that was dumb. I'll never do that again. Ah, dumb. I will never, it will be dumb. Ah, dumb, what is it good for? Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the fertility goddess. Say, pretty sketchy. Man, she's pretty sketchy. Went there? Yeah. And after Milcom, the horror idol of the Ammonites. Say, come on, Solomon. Come on. Even the wisest got sucked into watching stuff and being involved in stuff so deep. That's so ungodly and so dark. He got in there. There's no shadow. You won't light up. But he's down there with the shadow people watching shadow stuff. Solomon. Solomon did evil things in the sight of the Lord. Can you feel the heartbreak from a dad? Man, I gave you everything. You chose that. Why? I told you not to choose that. Because what was going to happen? Oh, now you're mad at me because you chose that? Okay. You were the wisest. You had everything right there. There's no one after you or no one before you. You were the greatest I've ever had in my life. And I asked one thing of you to keep me first. And I said, be careful of going after these foreign women because they're going to draw your heart towards horror, towards perversity. They're going to pull you away from who I am and what I have for you. Okay. But he still chose it. How prideful would we be if we don't learn from that? We're not immune. The wisest wasn't immune. How dare we think we are? It's good to check ourselves. Like, I'm doing this just for, I'm giving a heart check before we leave. When I come back, I can't wait to see that you guys have been worshiping in the front row. I can't wait. I hope the church is bigger. I hope the snowbirds are back. I won't come back and go, what's going on? Are you pastor? We're in revival. And you can't even speak. We got to get you. It's going to take 6 weeks to get you even on the pulpit. Okay. Right on. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully as his father David did. Then Solomon built a high place of worship. Worshiping Chemosh, another horrible, detestable idol of Moab, on the hill which is east of Jerusalem. There's the rude part. That's like saying, you know what? I was pastoring up in here. But you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to open some kind of deep, dark bar that serves illegal drugs, and I'm going to open it in a parking lot. Woo! God's like, what are you doing, man? Not only are you building something and playing with something you have no business with, but you're putting it right across the easel from my temple? Are you trying to tempt other people away from me too? Solomon, you're the wisest man. And he did the same for all his foreign wives, wives who burnt incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon. Anger with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, his God of Israel. The God of Israel who appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing. He said it two times to him that he should not follow other gods, but he did not observe what the Lord had commanded him. Always observe what the Lord commands you, even if it's not popular. Like that's, we're about to have disciples. So there's people that say they want to get baptized, say, you know what, I'm not going to be followed by world standards more. I'm dead to how I feel about what I think, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm 100% in. I'm following him, and he is in charge of my life. That's what we're saying today. That's what baptism is today. I really want to encourage us that I think during this season, find the thing the Lord's commanding you. It doesn't have to be hard. Just find the thing that he's saying. This is what he's saying to me this season. But he did not observe what the Lord commanded. Therefore, he said, because you've done this, not kept my covenant and my statutes that I've commanded you, I will certainly, well, here's another thing. God keeps his word. He said, I'll certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. However, I will not do it in your lifetime for the sake of your father David. But I will tear it out of the hand of your son, Rehoboam. If you have kids, that's sad. If you have a future generation that's looking up to you to lead them in God, and we make the choices not to do what God had commanded us, we're actually ripping stuff out of their lives. Promises that God had spoken over us, we are ripping them out of his hands. Pride, what is it good for? Absolute destruction. Destruction. Pride affects our children. Because of all that defiant pride, the kingdom that experienced, they had great peace. Like during Solomon's reign, they had peace. It was golden age, you know, the streets of gold, and every prosperity ever was wonderful. But the peace was about to be plunged into war everywhere. Pride can... How many know this? Pride can and often does leads to wars. Wars to the east, wars to the west. Everywhere there's war. War in relationships. If your pride leads to war in your relationship, I'm not backing down. I don't apologize until they apologize. They're wrong. They're wrong first. Well, they didn't hear me. Well, I didn't hear. You didn't say you didn't hear me? Well, you didn't hear me. Well, you didn't hear me. Well, I'm not going to apologize. You're not apologizing. I'm sleeping. I'll go. Psst. Pride, what is it good for? An absolute war. Pride leads to war. War at home. Ever have war at home? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Cody, put your elbow down. Ever have a war at work? Over pride? Somebody else's pride or yours? How about this? Are you at war constantly? Seriously, think about if you're at war with people constantly, your situation... You constantly feel like you're always at war. Pride stinks. But don't check everybody else. Check you. If you're at war with everybody else, check you. If you're constantly at war, check you. I'm not saying it's you, but you got to check you before you can't even check somebody else. All you can check is you. That's all you can check. And if we don't check, man, what a problem that can be. Look at these warriors coming in the door. Let's tell them, we love you guys. You can't sneak in because we love you. Yeah. What up, campers in the house? Okay. Happy birthday, Sean G. Yeah. Good call. Forgot about thank you, event coordinator. No one, not even the most successful in the world, the wisest, are immune.
Have any of us kind of shrunk back recently from doing things, or have you been maybe harboring things that he commanded you not to? Is there something right now in your life when I go, something he talked to you about and you're holding on to it for bitter end, and you know it's killing you? Today's the day to get rid of that, because only pride will keep it. Only pride keeps those things. People, when I see them broken on the front aisle and they're giving something to God, it's beautiful to me. When someone shatters their image to receive something from God, it's beautiful to me. I want to encourage you. Has anything, including your desires, taken God's place? Has blank taken the place of God? Has blank taken the time I used to give God? Has blank taken my thoughts captive more than, fill in the blank. Be mature. This next one's going to be dangerous. I hesitate to say it, but I'm going away for 5 weeks, so you might forget. Has your crowd encouraged you or influenced you with phrases like this? It's okay to love God, but he doesn't have to be the center of everything, man. Man, yeah, it's cool to be a Christian, but you're going to be all God. Everything's God. You got a free will. God doesn't need you, man. He's big. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to obey. He doesn't need you to show up to usher. Why? Because he's God. He doesn't need you. How about this? You're a good person. It's okay if God's second or third sometimes. If you have a crowd that influences you that way, that's like having a foreign wife. It's pulling you away from what God said. Pride's good for nothing. You know, at one point in time, I would do this huge emotional pull on you right now. There's a song called Dying Star by Jason Upton. Don't pull it up, dude. But it's one of those things. If you want to have a moment with God this week by yourself, and you're really like, no, I really do want to check myself, Pastor Sean. I want to check my oil. Play that song. It's about how God's looking for a bunch of dying stars. And then we're about to have baptism. Where's my one dying star? Is she teaching? She's teaching. What a star she is. Angela's going to get baptized today. I don't know if anybody else signed up. Yeah, I'm so excited about Angela's baptism. Her son, too. So that's baptism in a nutshell. I'm going to be a dying star so you can use me. I want to follow you. And the best way to kill pride is put us down. Not derogatory statements. Oh, my gosh, look at my beard. It's so terrible. Oh, my gosh, I'm way too short. I'm talking about God said this, and I keep saying this. God wants me to do this, but I feel like doing this. God said do this, but my crowd says this, this, and this. I think it's time to kill the pride. This is the season that we do the if. If you do this. If you do this, I will do this for you. Anybody have any promises you wanted from God this season? You're like, he promised me something a long time ago. I got promises. I kind of just let them die. Sometimes you have to. Things got to die for it to grow. So I want to encourage you, if you need to die this week to yourself, there's some pride things. Just remember the spiritual song that I taught you. You ready to sing it with me? Pride, what is it good for? Say it again. So, okay? So this week, dig into that. And if you can stay around for baptism and cheer on Angela and be part of the celebration, please do that. I love you all. We're going to miss you. You can welcome to stand. I'm going to pray and close this out. You're going to want to see Dr. Heidi because you won't see her for 5 weeks. I'll be keeping her captive in the woods and trying to get all her time, every inch of it that she can spare. So look at her. God, we suck at her dry of time. Father, I wish we were all immune to this. But greater are you that's in us than he that's in the world. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't resist a single thing. And we'll walk after whatever we want to unless your Spirit draws us someplace else. So, Father, I'm asking this season for New Season Christian Fellowship and your church at large. We would be humble and we would be filled. And anything we've been holding on to, help us lay it down. And rise us up to do whatever you want to do with us, so we can change the world and light up some shadows. In Jesus' name, amen.